You're listening to The Roadhouse here on WTIP. We're joined on the phone now by Shannon Lothammer. She is the manager of the Water Assessment and Environmental Section of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. Hi, Shannon.
Hi, Ann.
Thanks for being here tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you joining us. Well, we wanted to talk to you because of this study that the MPCA is undertaking to learn more about the effects of sulfates on wild rice. But first, tell us a little bit about what the Water Assessment and Environmental Section of the MPCA does and what you focus on.
Sure. So my group at the MPCA really works on developing our water quality standards, which are intended to protect the beneficial uses of the water that Minnesotans care about, so to protect for swimming and fishing and things like wild rice production even. And we also then work with developing permit requirements that assure that when dischargers are discharging into the waters of the state, that they're discharging at a level that doesn't violate or cause any problems with those standards. So We translate the standards then into permit requirements. And then my group also does some work on toxic pollutants in Minnesota, so mercury, perfluoral chemicals, and some of the endocrine-disrupting chemicals that are starting to become issues of concern.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the study that you're beginning on the effects of sulfates on wild rice, why now at this particular time? Does it have to do with the mining projects that are being proposed for North Minnesota?
Well, actually, it kind of goes back to the initial adoption of the standard that we have. Minnesota has a 10 milligram per liter sulfate standard to protect wild rice, and that was adopted into our water quality standards rule back in 1973. And it was included to protect water use for production of wild rice during periods when the rice may be susceptible to damage by high sulfate levels. Now, that standard is based on monitoring data from Minnesota lakes that was collected in the 1930s and 1940s. And that data showed that wild rice generally is found in waters with low sulfate concentrations, and that at higher sulfate concentrations, there's not harvestable stands or really large stands, generally. There are some exceptions to that. So we have that information and established that standard based on that. Then in recent years, questions have been raised about aspects of that current sulfate standard, and we did a review of available studies and information, really learned that we needed some more information, including wild rice plant toxicity studies, to further evaluate that standard, to make sure that it's being protective of wild rice, and to see if any adjustments are needed.
Okay. And before we go on, could you explain a little bit in layperson's terms what are sulfates and where they come from?
You bet. So sulfates are actually, it comes from sulfide, which is a chemical that is natural to the environment, and sulfate is kind of a form of that that is commonly found in air and soil and water. And it can also be found at varying discharges or varying concentrations from discharges from permitted facilities. So, for example, you can find sulfate in wastewater discharge from mining facilities because what happens is the rock is brought up to the surface that has sulfur in it, and as it contacts the air, that sulfur gets oxidized, and then it can enter into any runoff that's coming from that site. You can also find elevated sulfate in wastewater treatment discharges if the water that is coming through the system has high sulfate, because a lot of our groundwater in Minnesota has a lot of sulfate in it. And there's also industrial processes that use salts, including sulfate, in the process, and then that ends up in the wastewater.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good to know. Now, how does sulfate interfere with wild rice or affect wild rice? I mean, something I read said it interfered with the root development?
Sure. Well, we actually don't know the exact mechanism yet, and that's one of the things that is going to be important to learn in this study. We know that there's a correlation between low sulfate levels and the occurrence of wild rice. And the most common hypothesis about what the actual mechanism of impact is that sulfate in the water gets converted into sulfide in the sediment. And sulfide is very toxic to aquatic organisms. And so the hypothesis or the supposition is that sulfide is then impacting either the roots of the wild rice plant or the ability for the plant to take up important nutrients, or maybe that it's having a directly toxic effect, too. And that's something that we'd like to learn more about so that we can better understand how sulfate in the water reacts with wild rice and what we need to do to make sure that we're protecting it adequately.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what the study will involve then. It sounds like it's something that might be a little complicated to get at.
Sure. Well, we actually have been working over the past year to develop a detailed protocol for this study, laying out, you know, what are the questions that we need to get more information about regarding the relationship between sulfate and wild rice. And the study is actually going to be with the University of Minnesota. We went through an extensive request for proposal process to select the researchers to work with. And that's going to look at a number of factors. But the most kind of the key things that we'll be looking at is looking to develop what's called a dose-response relationship between sulfate and wild rice impact. So looking at what concentrations of sulfate do we start to see impacts, and how does that change with greater concentrations? Because that will help us better have additional information to evaluate that current 10 milligram per liter standard. The other thing that we'll be doing as a part of the study with the researchers is they'll be doing additional work on Minnesota lakes and streams to see what conditions are found in streams that support healthy stands of wild rice and those that should support wild rice, so have the right habitat, but we're not seeing the wild rice there. So looking at sulfate concentrations and then other chemicals to see if there might be some chemicals that make sulfate issues worse or maybe some chemicals there that make sulfate issues less of a problem for wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be laboratory studies and then outdoor experiments as well.
So when you choose the lakes and streams to look at, how do you choose that? Will you choose some that are near, for example, existing industrial facilities to see how those might be affecting them and others that are further away? Or what's your process for choosing which ones to examine?
Sure. We're really focused on kind of getting a range of sulfate concentrations and then presence and absence of wild rice. We're really going more on what we know about the characteristics of those water bodies, if there's monitoring data already available, or if there's something that, you know, the Department of Natural Resources or other folks know about those particular water resources. We actually did some preliminary work back this past year. So we went out, we actually contracted with the University of Minnesota for that, and they sampled 40-plus lakes across the kind of wild rice and sulfate area of Minnesota, so northeastern Minnesota and all the way over to western Minnesota, to get some preliminary information about that occurrence of wild rice and sulfate. We're also looking to go back to some of the waters that were originally sampled back in the 30s and 40s to see if there's been any changes since then and if the wild rice is still there and what the sulfate concentrations are. So really looking to find places that have high sulfate and wild rice growing to see what those characteristics are, then low sulfate and wild rice growing, and then also if there's areas where there used to be wild rice and we can find documentation of that, and there's high sulfates now, to see what might be different from those different types of environments.
Mm-hmm. And then how, I understand that the study will go till about December of next year, is that correct?
Yes. Okay. Yep, that's correct.
And then,
yep, it's actually funded through the Minnesota legislature with the Clean Water Fund dollars, and so there's about two years worth of funding available.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Shannon Lothammer. She's manager of the Water Assessment and Environmental Section of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and we're talking about a study they're undertaking to learn about the effects of sulfates on wild rice. So, Shannon, how will what you learn be applied to the current water quality standard?
Well, the way that process will work is once the study is done and we have additional information, we'll look at that new information, and also we're going through the current scientific literature and, you know, any new papers that are published, we're taking those into account. We're looking at existing environmental data, and all of that information then will be used to help reevaluate the sulfate standard to see if any changes are warranted. You know, this two-year study isn't going to answer all of the questions about wild rice, but it really is going to provide us with additional information to help us evaluate that standard and see if any changes are warranted, whether it's an increase in the number or a decrease in the number, or more information about, you know, is there certain times when wild rice is more sensitive, and that's a determination that we need to make in applying the standard, or are there certain types of environments where wild rice is more sensitive as well?
Mm-hmm. Is there much research that's been done on this topic already? I mean, like perhaps in other parts of the country or the world?
So Sure. There's actually some work that's been done on sulfate impacts on other types of plants. That's been done in Florida, and so we're looking at that work. There's also been work done with white rice and impacts from different types of chemicals, so that information is valuable. And then there's work that has been done in Minnesota as well, looking at impacts of sulfate on wild rice, and that's an ongoing study that is still underway, and so we'll be looking at the results from that also. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, this question about sulfate in wild rice is fairly specific to Minnesota and this part of the United States, because we're the area that has wild rice, and where wild rice is such an important cultural resource and ecological resource and also economic resource.
Exactly. I was just wondering if it was, you know, it grew in other areas in the world. I guess I don't know that.
Yeah, there's actually information that from the United States Department of Agriculture that shows kind of historic distribution of wild rice, and it really does focus on the Great Lakes states and kind of in Minnesota, even more northern Minnesota, although there's certainly documentation of wild rice growing in many parts of Minnesota in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. Do you and your fellow researchers have a theory that you're going into this about whether the current water quality standard is good enough or not?
Right now, based on the information that we have, we think that it is good, and we're continuing to implement it. You know, it's the standard that was adopted many years ago, but it was adopted based on the best science that was available at the time, and it's a valid standard that we are implementing. But one thing about standards is, you know, they're based on science, and science evolves and changes as we get new information. And so this process of reviewing a standard really isn't unique. It's something that's built into the Clean Water Act. In this case, there is new or additional information that's needed, and so we have the opportunity with funding that was provided from the legislature to really go out and work with the research community to get that information, which is a really great partnership that we're really excited about, to be able to work with the research community to help answer an important environmental question.
Yes, absolutely. So as far as the mining that's proposed for this part of the world, is any of that permitting on hold while you gather this data?
No, actually, we're continuing with permitting because we do have a standard of 10 milligrams per liter that we are implementing. And so that continues to be implemented as permits come up, either for new facilities or reissuing facilities. You know, one thing with applying the standard is the process that we use for determining if we need to put controls into a permit for a particular chemical or pollutant really looks at what do we know about what's in the discharge from that facility, and then how does that relate to the standard or meeting the beneficial use or what we're trying to protect in the receiving water. And with sulfate, it's really not until recently that we've had very much data about sulfate concentrations in these discharges, and we now have data about sulfate in mining discharges, which is why this question is coming up kind of more often with mining projects right now. For other types of facilities where we think that there might be elevated sulfate and that there might be waters used for the production of wild rice downstream, we're actually requiring the permittees to conduct monitoring so that we have that data going forward and we can do that evaluation for those facilities as well.
Okay. Shannon, if people want to learn more about the study or about anything else with water quality, where can they go?
They can go to the Pollution Control Agency's website as a first stop. That's at www.pca.state.mn.us. There's a wealth of information about water quality issues and air quality issues and land restoration as well. But particular to the sulfate and wild rice question, there's actually a featured link on the front page of our website called the Sulfate Standard to Protect Wild Rice. So folks that are interested in this particular issue can click there, get to a page that has a lot of background information about the study protocol that we've developed. We have an advisory committee that's been put in place to provide input on first the protocol and then the study results. And we're putting, you know, new information up there as it becomes available about meetings and things that we're learning, and we'll continue to do that as we go forward. Folks that are interested in ongoing updates can also sign up for a sulfate wild rice standard email update on that same page. And on the right-hand side, there's a link to sign up for that. And then periodically we're sending out by email updates on what's going on to all the folks that have signed up and said that they're interested in learning more.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, I appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, just that I want to thank you for the opportunity and just let you know that we're very committed to protecting this important resource. And, you know, we want to share information with people that are interested as well. So I'd really encourage your listeners, if they'd like to learn more, to look at our website. There's contact information and, you know, let us know what they'd like to hear about as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shannon. We appreciate your time tonight.
Great. Thank you very much, Anne. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.